Welcome back to Science TLDR, the show where we cut to the chase and get to the juicy bits of the latest research for busy PhDs, just like you.
Yeah, always fun to dig into these papers.
And today, we're really diving deep into one that caught my eye in Nature Biomedical Engineering.
Oh, nice.
The title is a mouthful.
Yeah.
Engineered allogeneic T cells, decoupling T cell receptor, and CD3 signaling enhance the anti-tumor activity of bispecific antibodies.
Wow, that's a title that hints at some pretty exciting stuff, right?
Mm.
Allogeneic T-cell therapy. So using T-cells from healthy donors holds so much promise for cancer treatment, you know?
Yeah.
Imagine if we had like off-the-shelf T-cell therapies ready to go for patients.
Exactly. No more waiting for that personalized T-cell engineering.
Right.
But of course, we can't forget about GVHD.
Oh, yeah, the elephant in the room.
Graft versus host diseases paper claims to have made some serious progress on that front.
Yeah, that's right. They engineered these allogeneic T-cells that can still kill cancer cells when you use them with bispecific antibodies, but with a much lower risk of GVHD.
Potentially much lower.
Yeah, potentially much lower.
Okay, so let's break this down for our listeners first. A quick recap on bispecific antibodies. These are molecules that act like little bridges, bringing T cells and cancer cells together.
Yeah, think of them like highly selective matchmakers, right?
I like that.
One arm of the antibody grabs onto a specific antigen on that cancer cell, and the other arm latches onto CD3 on the T cell.
Okay.
And that forces them together, basically triggering the T cell to attack.
We've seen success with these bispecific antibodies already clinically, right? Mm-hmm. Like blinatumomab, which targets CD19 on B cells. But there's a catch, especially for patients with those blood cancers, the hematological malignancies.
You're absolutely right. A lot of these patients have weakened immune systems, right? And not enough healthy T cells to begin with.
Yeah.
And studies have shown a clear link between the number of T cells a patient has and how well they respond to treatment with these bispecific antibodies.
So their own T cells might not be up for the job, even with that bispecific antibody helping out.
Exactly. So that's where the allure of these allogeneic T cells comes in. Could be a game changer. But as we said, GVHD, that's a big hurdle.
Huge hurdle.
Even in stem cell transplants where you carefully match HLA,
right,
GVHD, it's still a major risk.
Okay, so that brings us to the heart of this research. How did they engineer these allogeneic T cells to be safer?
So to understand what they did, we need to dig into the TCR-CD3 complex.
Okay.
The TCR, that's the T cell receptor. It's like the T cell sensor. It recognizes specific antigens, like the ones our bispecific antibody is targeting.
So it's like the lock picker searching for the right keyhole on that cancer cell.
Perfect analogy. And then the CD3 complex that's attached to the TCR, that's like the trigger.
Right.
Once the TCR binds to an antigen, CD3 sends that signal inside the T cell attack.
So two steps: recognition by TCR, and then action from the CD3 complex.
You got it, but here's the challenge. If you just knock out the TCR to stop it from seeing the host cells and causing GVHD, you also disable that CD3 signaling.
So it's useless then, the T cell.
Exactly. Okay. Can't be activated by the bispecific antibody anymore. It's a catch-22.
Yeah.
So these researchers wanted to decouple TCR signaling from the antigen binding.
So the T cell would ignore the host cells,
mm-hmm,
and wouldn't cause GVHD,
yeah,
but could still be turned on by the bispecific antibody.
Yeah.
Clever.
It is. But it wasn't easy. They first tried targeting this thing called the alpha connecting peptide motif.
The ACPM.
Yeah, the ACPM.
It's catchy.
Yeah. It had shown promise in decoupling TCR and CD3 in mouse studies.
So they thought it would work in human T cells too.
Right, but they hit a wall. Mutations in the ACPM of the human TCRs actually decreased expression of the whole TCR-CD3 complex on the cell surface.
Oh.
And surprisingly, it reduced activation by the bispecific antibody.
So the opposite of what they wanted.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a good reminder that human T cells don't always play by the same rules as mouse T cells.
Right. Good point.
Yeah. So undeterred, the researchers decided to look for other motifs that could be the key to this decoupling.
So what were they looking for in this ideal motif?
They had a pretty specific list. First, it had to be highly conserved across different species, suggesting it has a fundamental role in TCR function.
Makes sense.
Second, it had to be located outside those complementarity determining regions, or CDRs, of the TCR.
Ah, the CDRs, the parts that recognize the antigen.
Exactly. So they wanted something involved in the behind-the-scenes signaling, but not dictating which antigen is recognized.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
They also needed to make sure that the engineered TCR would still be expressed on the surface of the T cell and could still bind to its target.
Right. And of course, the mutations should only disrupt TCR signaling when it encounters an antigen, but leave that CD3 signaling triggered by the bispecific antibody intact.
Okay, so that's a pretty long list.
Yeah.
Did they find this magic motif?
They did, and it's a fascinating one.
Okay.
Through careful sequence analysis, they found the FGXGT motif. It's located in the TCR alpha chain J gene.
Okay.
And this motif is highly conserved across a bunch of mammalian species, including humans.
So it's definitely doing something important.
Right. And here's where it gets even more interesting. This FGXGT motif, it's also present in the TCR beta chain. And get this, in antibody chains, too.
Wow. So this little motif could have implications beyond just T-cell engineering, maybe even in antibody engineering.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool thought, right? It shows how interconnected these immune system components are. Mm-hmm. Previous studies had shown that this FGXGT motif acts like a flexible swivel in the TCR structure.
Okay, so it influences how the TCR interacts with this target.
Exactly. And the researchers thought that by tweaking this flexible region, they might be able to disrupt the signal getting sent from the TCR to that CD3 complex.
Interesting. So they set about engineering mutations in this FGXG2 motif, hoping to decouple TCR signaling without messing up its other functions.
Right.
Did it work?
Their strategy focused on those two glycine residues in the FGXGT motif.
Glycines are known for their flexibility, right?
Exactly. They're like the loosey-goosey amino acids. They replace the first glycine with glutamic acid,
which is
a much larger negatively charged amino acid.
So it would disrupt the motif's flexibility.
Yeah, and they predicted that it would disrupt the interaction between the TCR alpha and beta chains.
Okay. They threw a wrench in the swivel.
A very precise wrench.
I like it.
And they also replaced the second glycine with tryptophan, which is a big, bulky, aromatic amino acid.
To do what?
To stabilize the TCR alpha chain. So they incorporated this mutated motif, they called it FEQWT, into a well-known TCR called DMF5.
Which targets?
A melanoma antigen called MART1.
MART1. Okay, so they had their engineered TCR. Yeah. Did it pass the first test? Could it still bind to his target antigen?
It did. They tested it out in Jurkat cells. Those are human T cells that we use a lot in research.
Yeah.
And they used dextramer staining to confirm that this engineered TCR is still bound to that MART1 antigen.
First hurdle cleared. But did they actually achieve decoupling what happened when they exposed these engineered T cells to MART1?
All right, so here's where we start to see the potential. They co-cultured those engineered Jurkat T cells with cells presenting the MART1 antigen, and they measured T cell activation, and the engineered T cells, that ADDMF501 variant, showed a much weaker response to MART1 compared to the wild-type DMF5 TCR.
Weaker? How much weaker?
At the highest antigen concentration, the engineered T cells showed a threefold reduction in activation.
Wow, so they were much less reactive to the antigen, suggesting that decoupling was working, but we need to make sure they didn't break the TCR entirely.
All right, yeah,
right. It still needs to respond to the bispecific antibody.
Absolutely. So to test this, they co-cultured the engineered Jurkat T cells with Raji cells.
Which are?
They're a B cell line that expresses the CD19 antigen, and they added blinatumomab to the mix.
Yeah.
The engineered T cells responded just as well to blinatumomab as the wild-type DMF5 TCR, showing strong activation.
So that CD3 signaling pathway was still working.
They had successfully uncoupled the TCR's antigen recognition from its signaling while keeping its ability to be activated by the bispecific antibody.
That's huge, a big step towards safer allogeneic T cell therapies.
I agree, but of course these were in vitro experiments using a cell line. We need to see if this approach works in primary human T cells.
Let's move on to that then. Did the researchers test their engineered TCR in primary human T cells?
They did, and the results are promising. They used CRISPR-Cas9 to put the engineered TCR into primary human T cells from healthy donors.
So they basically swapped out the T cell's natural TCR for the engineered version. What happened then?
There were some initial hiccups with the expression levels of the engineered TCR. The engineered alpha chain wasn't always pairing up properly with the endogenous beta chain in those primary T cells.
So the engineered alpha chain was being a little picky about its partner.
Yeah, it was. But the researchers found a clever solution. They knocked out the endogenous beta chain gene at the same time they introduced the engineered TCR.
So no more competition. Did that help?
It did. Knocking out that endogenous beta chain really boosted the surface expression of the engineered TCR, brought it up to levels comparable to the wild-type DMF5 TCR in primary human T cells.
Excellent problem solve. Now, they had those primary human T cells armed with the decoupled TCR. What did they do next?
It was time to really put those engineered T-cells to the test, safety and functionality. First, they wanted to see how they behave when they're exposed to that MART1 antigen. Remember, the goal is to make sure there's no off-target reactivity that could lead to GVHD.
They want to make sure these engineered T-cells wouldn't attack healthy cells. What did their safety assessments show?
The in vitro assays looked really good. Even at high concentrations of those MART1 peptides, the engineered T-cells, they just didn't really react much, though. You know, minimal proliferation, minimal cytokine release.
But
a stark contrast to the wild-type T-cells, which, as you can imagine, went crazy when they saw that antigen.
The engineered T-cells were keeping their cool even when faced with their target. That's good for safety. Did they measure any other signs of T-cell activation, you know, like cytotoxic potential?
They did. They looked at markers like CD107A and granzyme B. Those are key players in the T-cells killing mechanism. And consistent with the other safety assays, the engineered T-cells showed much lower levels of those markers compared to the wild-type T-cells.
So less of that killer instinct when it comes to cells presenting the ART1 antigen. It all points to a lower risk of GVHD. But we need to see how these engineered T-cells do in a more complex environment. Did they test them in an animal model?
They did. They used a xenograft model in mice. They implanted human Raji cells that were engineered to express luciferase.
Oh, clever. That lets you track tumor growth in real time by measuring the light emitted.
Exactly. A neat way to monitor how those tumors are progressing.
But what was the setup for the experiment?
Okay, so they had several groups of mice. Some got the engineered T cells plus blinatumomab. Some got wild type T cells plus blinatumomab. And then they had control groups that got either the engineered T cells alone or the wild type T cells alone.
Okay.
This way they could really see what the engineered TCR was doing and what the bispecific antibody was doing separately.
Makes sense. A well-designed experiment. What did they find?
When they were combined with blinatumomab, both the engineered and wild-type T-cells completely cleared those tumors. Poof, gone. The bioluminescent signal vanished. No more Raji cells.
That's great. So the engineered T-cells, even with that reduced response to the antigen, could still kill cancer cells with a little help from the bispecific antibody. But what about the groups that didn't get blinatumomab?
This is where we see the potential safety advantage of these engineered T-cells. When they were given alone, the engineered T-cells didn't clear the tumors. The Raji cells just kept growing.
Interesting. So they weren't attacking the Raji cells without that bispecific antibody. What about the wild-type T-cells?
Even without blinatumomab, the wild-type T-cells, they cleared the tumors in most of the mice.
Hold on. That's weird. The wild-type T-cells weren't supposed to recognize the CD19 antigen on those Raji cells. Why would they attack the tumors?
It's a really important thing to think about when you're working with these xenograft models. Remember, we're putting human cells into mice, and even though those mice are immunocompromised, they still have their own MHC molecules, and those are different from human MHC molecules.
Oh, so the wild-type T-cells were mounting an all-reactive response. They were recognizing the mouse MHC molecules as foreign and attacking any cells that had them, including the Raji tumor cells.
Exactly. That's the kind of unwanted immune response we're trying to avoid with these allogeneic T-cell therapies, and the results with the engineered T-cells, they're pretty encouraging. They seem to be much less prone to that kind of alloreactivity.
This research is presenting a really elegant approach to engineering allogeneic T-cells for safer cancer therapies by targeting that FGXGT motif in the TCR. They were able to decouple the TCR's antigen recognition from its signaling function.
And importantly, they confirmed that decoupling not just in Jurkat cells, but in primary human T cells too.
Yeah, those in vitro assays showed that the engineered T cells were much less reactive to the RMCA1 antigen, suggesting a lower risk of GVHD. They could still be activated and kill those tumor cells when they got that boost from blinatumomab.
And the mouse model backs that up. It shows that those engineered T cells, unlike the wild-type T cells, they didn't have a strong alloreactive response, which suggests a good safety profile for potential clinical use.
This is all very exciting, but of course we need to be careful. It's just one preclinical study. We need to see how these engineered T cells do in actual human clinical trials before we get too carried away with the conclusions about their safety and how well they work.
Absolutely. And like you mentioned earlier, that issue of host versus graft disease, or HVGD, that needs to be addressed too. Even if we can stop GVHD, there's still a chance that the recipient's immune system might reject those donor T cells.
Right. There are some strategies being explored to deal with HVGD, like engineering the T cells to express certain molecules that can hide them from the host's immune system, or getting rid of the genes that make them visible to the host's immune system.
Yeah, but focusing on this paper, are there other questions that we still need answered?
I'm curious about how long this therapeutic effect lasts. Will these engineered T cells stick around in the body long enough to prevent the cancer from coming back? And will they stay unresponsive to that target antigen? Or could that decoupling mechanism become leaky over time?
Those are great questions, and we'll need long-term follow-up studies to answer them. Another question is whether this approach can be applied more broadly. You know, they focused on one specific TCR and one bispecific antibody. Can we use the same engineering strategy with other TCRs and other bispecific antibodies?
Well, the authors did try that a little bit. They put that FEQWT mutation into two other TCRs that target different cancer antigens. What happened?
The results were a bit mixed with one TCR. The FEQWT mutation worked just like they expected. It reduced antigen reactivity while keeping its responsiveness to blinatumomab. But in the other TCR, the mutation actually messed up the TCR's ability to bind to its target antigen.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all solution. The mutations needed to achieve decoupling might be different depending on the TCR.
Exactly. It shows that we need to do more research to really understand the structure and function of different TCRs and how to tailor our engineering approach for each one. That's where high-throughput screening and protein engineering come in.
Right.
By creating and testing tons of different TCR variants, we can figure out the best mutations for each target.
The authors have already started doing this, right? They use deep mutational scanning to screen libraries of TCR variants with mutations in that FGXGT motif. So instead of testing one mutation at a time, they could analyze hundreds or even thousands of variants all at once.
Exactly, and that lets you quickly find the TCR variants that have those decoupling properties.
So combining those computational predictions with high-throughput experiments can really speed up the development of these safer and more effective T-cell therapies. I want to go back to something you mentioned earlier about the FGXGT motif being found in antibodies.
Mm-hmm.
What are the implications of that for antibody engineering?
It's a question worth exploring if this motif plays a similar role in how antibodies work as it does in TCR signaling, then manipulating it could change how antibodies interact with their targets.
Could we engineer antibodies that are more powerful or more specific, or even give them completely new functions? What if we could fine-tune an antibody's ability to activate immune cells, neutralize viruses, or even deliver drugs to certain tissues?
No, it's pretty mind-blowing. The possibilities are huge. This tiny little motif could open up a whole new world of antibody therapies. It really shows how even the smallest details in biology can have a massive impact on human health.
This has been a fascinating deep dive into T-cell engineering. Before we wrap up, I want to highlight three key takeaways for our listeners.
Okay, go for it.
First, the study shows that decoupling TCR antigen binding from CD3, signaling it can be done, it opens the door for safer allogeneic T-cell therapies with less risk of GVHD. Second, that FGXGT motif, super important for signal transduction, could be a real game changer for engineering T cells with, you know, specific functions.
And third, this research, it has these broader implications like we talked about, could open up some new doors for antibody engineering too.
It's amazing what challenges might researchers face trying to bring this to the clinic, though.
Well, one challenge is just the complexity of the engineering process. Like we said, it's not just a matter of putting the same mutation into every TCR. You know,
right.
The changes you need to make to achieve that decoupling it might vary depending on the specific TCR you're working with.
So we're talking about personalized engineering, even at the level of the TCR.
Yeah, kind of. We need reliable ways to predict which mutations are going to work best for each TCR. And that's probably going to involve a lot of computational modeling, structural analysis, and high throughput screening.
And then once you've got the engineered TCR, you got to make sure you can get it into the patient's T cells efficiently and safely.
Right, and that brings us to another challenge, the delivery system. Those viral vectors that we usually use to deliver genes into T cells, they've got their limitations, you know, potential safety issues, and they can be tricky to manufacture.
Plus, there's the cost factor. These personalized cell therapies are so expensive, it makes them really hard for a lot of people to access.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of research is going into trying to bring the cost down, things like finding more efficient manufacturing processes and exploring other ways to deliver those engineered TCRs.
So there are hurdles, but it seems like progress is being made.
Yeah.
And given the potential benefits of these therapies, it feels like the investment is worth it.
Yeah, I agree. Being able to harness the immune system to fight disease, that's really powerful. This study is a great example of how researchers are pushing the boundaries of medicine.
Any final thoughts for our listeners before we sign off?
Just stay curious. Keep up with the amazing scientific discoveries that are happening all the time, breakthroughs like the one we discussed today. They have the potential to completely change how we treat and prevent disease.
Science is a team sport.
Yeah.
Ask questions, challenge assumptions, be a part of the scientific conversation.
Absolutely. Well said. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of T-cell engineering. Until next time, keep exploring.
and keep those scientific minds buzzing.